inside Paul Ryan's famous budget.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Wisconsin Congressman and now Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan will be in Iowa today, talking with voters at the state fair. It'll be Ryan's first solo appearance since Mitt Romney announced Ryan as his running mate on Saturday. We're going to hear a lot about Paul Ryan in the coming days, but we'll start this morning with the legislation that he's most associated with. That would be the Ryan budget plan. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Paul Ryan's plan would reform the tax code. There'd be two individual rates, one at 10%, the other at 25%. And as Ryan explained last night on 60 Minutes, he thinks government programs like Medicare aren't sustainable, and we have to overhaul them to save them.
In order to make sure we can do that, you must reform it for those of us who are younger.
Americans who are 55 and older wouldn't see their benefits change, but there'd be big changes for younger Americans. There wouldn't be any more unlimited Medicare spending. Instead, the government would issue vouchers. The so-called Ryan budget also calls for big cuts to discretionary spending. That's money that pays for things like highways and national parks. By 2050, Ryan wants that scaled back drastically.
We need policies that grow the economy to get people back to work. That helps with revenues, that helps with growth, and that helps reduce spending.
What Ryan's budget doesn't tackle is Social Security or defense spending. The Pentagon is 20% of the federal budget. Even before he became Romney's running mate, Ryan made a 3-minute video for his most recent budget proposal. In this election, he says there's a choice between prosperity, as he puts it, or becoming the next Greece.
The question is, which future will we choose?
That question takes on even more significance now. Nicholas Carnes teaches public policy at Duke.
If Romney's goal was to clearly distinguish himself from the president on economic issues, he couldn't have picked a better person in Washington to do that.
Or a better way through the Ryan budget to highlight that difference. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
New figures out this morning show Japan's economy is slowing down. It grew at a rate of just 1.4% in the latest 3-month period. That is down sharply from the previous quarter. For more on what's behind it, let's bring in the BBC's Mariko Oi. She's with us from Tokyo. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so we've heard about a slowdown in Japan, in China, in Europe, in the United States. What's unique about Japan in terms of its economy right now?
Well, one big difference about Japan is that its economy is recovering from last year's earthquake and tsunami. And part of the reason that Japan's economy grew very strongly in the first 3 months of this year was because of the government spending on the reconstruction. But we're starting to see a slowdown in that. And even though the central bank, the Bank of Japan, has been hoping that consumers will continue to spend, today's figures show that that might not be the case. So it might be a bit of a worrying sign for the central bank.
Well, how are consumers feeling? I mean, they've been through so much economically in Japan over the last couple of years.
Well, I spoke to one couple in their 50s, and I was filing a report about the household budget, and they showed me, I guess, a pie chart of their budget, and they make quite a good money, but almost half of its entire salary is spent on a housing loan because they feel that they want to pay off the loan as soon as possible, just in case they need extra cash when they retire. And even younger people, I was just having drinks with my girlfriends on Friday, just after the bill to double the sales tax passed the parliament, and their immediate reaction was, that's it, I'm going to stop spending in Japan, I'm just going to go overseas and go shopping there. So I guess that's the concern that critics have of this particular bill, because it seems like consumers aren't spending as much as the government had been hoping.
The BBC's Mariko Oi in Tokyo, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 0.25% in Hong Kong, up just a hair right now in Frankfurt. Oil prices are at their highest level in 3 months. Brent crude hit $114 a barrel today. It appears new concerns about Israel and Iran are overshadowing forecasts of weaker demand for oil. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 42 points to close at 13,207.
Thank you. get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The United States is taking home 104 Olympic medals. That's the most of any country. China is second with 87. But there's one winner from the Olympics without any medals. It's something called kinesio tape, basically pink and blue stripes that athletes put on their bodies to help their muscles heal and perform better. Kinesio tape was not an official Olympic sponsor, but as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, it's getting a big marketing boost anyway.
Half down, up, down.
Exercise trainer Maricela Devine packs her Portland dance studio for cardio boot camp. She's wiry and rock hard, not a pulled hamstring in sight, but seeing all those Olympic athletes crisscrossed with kinesio tape?
Their bodies are these instruments that are fine-tuned, so yeah, I would definitely try it.
I think it's an interesting version of ambush marketing.
Sports lawyer Kenneth Shropshire says ambush because only official sponsors can plaster their logos on the Olympians. But kinesio tape? No brand name, so no foul. Just those unmistakable colored strips patterned across tight abs and glutes.
Athletes have gone beyond this is to help muscle strain or some other injury to, this looks pretty cool, let me put it on and further express myself.
Making the athletes a sort of straining, leaping billboard for the company, which says sales are up 15-fold since the Olympics began. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally to Bellingham, Washington, which is very close to Canada, a little too close, in fact, for some residents who say Canadians are taking over the local Costco store. They're reportedly so happy about the strong Canadian dollar that they're buying everything in the store, causing a parking nightmare and long lines at the gas station. Some Bellingham residents have now started a Facebook page calling on Costco to create a special shopping time for Americans only. Costco tells the CBC it's not going to happen. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.